An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
Today is Friday. It's the 20th of November, 2015, and this is John Williams. You're listening to the Mincing Rascals. Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio for some commentary in these podcasts. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hello, John Williams.
Kristen McQuarrie joins us, too, from the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, John.
Kristen is a columnist and editorial writer there. Eric Zorn writes a column for the Chicago Tribune, too. Hi, Eric.
Hi, John. I'm going to try not to swear this week, but I know promises. I mean,
you were so proud of yourself last week. You got a cuss word in, right?
Yes.
I did.
And it was within context, though, and if you listen to Kathy and Judy when they do their streaming,
much worse.
It's funny because you can't cuss on the radio, you can on podcasts, and you can if you are streaming online. Kathy and Judy, longtime WGN radio personalities, work blue when they're streaming. It's hilarious. Well, you guys use whatever words you want. A couple of things we want to talk about include what are we doing with the Syrian refugees. But let's start with the local story. In October of 2014, a 17-year-old Chicago teenager named Laquan McDonald was shot 16 times by a Chicago police officer. There's dash cam video of that. And this week, a Cook County judge said that the video can be released. McDonald had been acting erratically. Angel dust was in his system, evidently. He was brandishing a small knife. He encountered one police officer who shot him 16 times. 16 times. Eric Zorn, where's your head on this one today?
Well, I think the video should be released. It is going to be released by Thanksgiving, probably Wednesday. The big question I have is, what took them so long to do the rudimentary investigation of this case and to come to some conclusion about what should happen to the police officer who is still employed by the police department, is on desk duty.
Right, right.
And to the extent that the release of this video is going to hasten the administration of justice in this case, I'm all for it.
Is it in federal hands, though? I mean, was it not a federal grand jury or no?
I believe it's a federal grand
jury. Federal grand
yes.
jury. Yeah. In fact, really, they're still convening. He hasn't had a day in court yet, right? They haven't had a trial for this officer.
Oh no,
yet.
No. The city settled. The city paid $5 million to the family. They took one look at this video and opened up their wallet.
But they didn't fire the officer.
Yeah,
they didn't fire the officer, and this is a case that actually started from a citizen journalist just trying to get a copy, a FOIA copy, through the Freedom of Information Act of the dash cam.
But they said they didn't want to release the video until the investigation was complete, right?
Okay,
that's,
fine.
That's what they've been saying.
So long?
Yes.
It's like Fox Lake. How hard is this? Really? Come on, people.
They were just hoping it would go away.
I think that's right.
That the steam would, you know, run out. This is going to be a very volatile video that's going to put Chicago on a global front, along with all the other police shooting videos. People say it's almost more horrific than some of the other ones you've seen.
I mean, what we've heard, none of us have seen it, obviously, but that it's just worse. It's one of the worst.
It's an execution, it sounds like.
Yes, that this guy
was particularly
since,
which is why we'll see it Wednesday afternoon, right? The day before Thanksgiving
probably.
At about 4:45.
Well, you know, if they can do something to minimize the impact, I don't know that that's a bad thing, because the full impact could just be, who knows, what sort of violence people might riot. I mean, there'll be rallies, and those can get out of hand.
I think it also will show the police lie. I mean, during the lead up to this, they just kept saying that this boy lunged at the police officer. That's what they kept saying. And people have said the video shows exactly the opposite.
Fearing
that
for
not
his life, the officer then has to retaliate. And
yes.
The video, evidently, Kristen, doesn't show that.
Correct. That's what we've read. That's what we're hearing.
Well, particularly since what we hear is that the description of the cops, all the rest of them in this case, seem to be doing exactly what we want the police to do. Guys acting erratically. A couple of officers call for backups. Can we get a taser here? They're following him then in their squad car and sort of hurting him as he goes so that he doesn't do any harm to anybody. But they didn't shoot him. They didn't tackle him and wrestle him. It seemed to be acted so cautiously. And then this guy arrives this officer and then opens fire on him, is the description we're reading.
I would like to know also what the other officers then said in their reports, if their reports reflected what actually happened or if they reflected this phony version of events that we were fed.
Well, it's a case of where the union protects the cops, and sometimes you want the prosecution or the police to just go, hey, this is a bad one, that's a bad officer, or he behaves so badly, he's now going to lose his job, and stop circling the wagons around these guys.
Well, he may lose more than his job. He may face murder charges. And again, we haven't seen the video, but all the descriptions of it that we have heard indicate that it's going to be really bad.
Yeah.
And his family doesn't want it released.
That's interesting, too. Yeah. I mean, they want justice. Well, they've got a civil version of justice, but you can't turn back the clock, so what are you going to do? You know, we have a somewhat similar case going on in Minneapolis right now, in the 4th Precinct on the north side of Minneapolis, think south side or west side of Chicago. A young man was killed, maybe execution style. There's a great debate about what exactly happened, but a single shot to the head. He may or may not have been handcuffed. The police say he wasn't. There's no dash cam video, but there's a huge disagreement about, you know, what happened there. And the police do have some video, and they won't release the video. So now there's a tent city living around the police headquarters, and people are demanding that the video be released. We want to see the video. The police say they don't want to, pending the investigation, because they're afraid that if they tell people what's on the video, then the witnesses will alter their story to match the video, and they can embellish it any way they
want.
Well,
that's fair enough. But when did this incident happen again, John?
A couple weeks ago.
Well, I mean, I would give them a couple of weeks. This incident in Chicago happened more than a year ago, right? I mean,
it was 2014.
So, I mean, I would side with the police maybe in Minneapolis, give them some time to do the interviews, conduct the investigation. But come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's no other side to this story. I think we're all frustrated. What is the mayor's position on this, too? He's sort of not wanted the video released either, and now he seems to have flip-flopped a little, right?
Well, I mean, the city signed off on the settlement, so I think he agreed that there was, you know, going to be no easy way out. But the city could have this judge's ruling and decided not to. So I think he's kind of ready to take whatever the consequences may be. The city could have appealed this and delayed it even longer.
It's a matter of you're going to have to take the castor oil, you get it over with, or put it off further.
But do you blame the police or the city for not wanting the video to get out just because of what's going to happen when it does? Well, I mean, that's not going to be good either.
If I can make Eric's case, though, that would be a more plausible fight if there had been swift or at least action against this police officer. And so if you have the stonewalling on the video and any delayed prosecution or decision on the police officer, you know, those two things just don't go together. You can't have both.
I don't think these advocates for justice are saying that they believe that it's possible that no innocent people will be shot. I'm not saying this guy's innocent, but that the police won't wrongfully shoot people. That's going to happen. What they want is justice when it happens. And so why you had all the protests in Ferguson, those stemmed not just from the shooting of Michael Brown, they stemmed from the outrage that the citizens had there, rightly or wrongly, over the fact that they didn't charge him. And I think that's where you get this outrage. So my guess is, and I think John Cass said this morning, is that these charges are going to come pretty quickly now, probably before the release of this video, so that there's not this sense of justice hasn't been done.
Right.
It'll be just
right.
Like, this is horrible, but justice is being done. This guy's been indicted. And that's, I mean, you know, again, we haven't seen this, but that's kind of what I hope for. I hope that this isn't released and then they say, well, we're not going to charge him, because that would really create a tinderbox.
We'll go back to the story then in the coming weeks. Let's talk for a minute now about the Syrian refugee crisis and what's happened since Paris. Most House Republicans and enough Democrats have overwhelmingly approved a bill that would virtually stop Syrian immigration into this country. Individuals will now need to get a personal okay from the heads of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the National Intelligence Service in order to be able to legally come to the United States, to Illinois, say. It's a veto-proof vote in the House. Steve Bertrand, what's your thought about this story?
Well, it's dead in the Senate, I think, so I don't think that will become law, the requirement. I No, Kristen, you're looking.
Oh, at me. No, I'm sorry. No, this is just my regular face. This is my resting bitch
I'm
face.
I'm not the nice here, so I'm willing
my
to be
resting
corrected.
Bitch face. Yeah. Do you have that RBF?
I've heard
of that phenomenon.
I do.
Didn't take us long.
But we digress. Go ahead, Steve.
You know, I just wanted to say a swear word.
No, I mean, so what the House passed, I don't think is going to become the law of the land. Others have said it, so I'm just echoing what others from both sides have said. It's just such a discouraging time right now to consider leadership in this country, I think. It's, to me, you know, there's really this, I think, demagoguery on the part of the governors of the state jumping on this. You know, President Obama did not acquit himself well where he was at the G20 summit. You know, and he's saying that the Republican candidates for president are afraid of women and children. I don't think that was very presidential and certainly not on that occasion. But it's just discouraging to me that no one's taking a deep breath and saying, all right, what are we really talking about here? We're talking about largely women and children who have been living in a camp somewhere for a year to 2 years, and we're bringing in small numbers of them. I mean, that's what this.
And the process now is arduous anyway. We haven't opened up the floodgates.
It's not like they're getting off a boat in Greece or getting off a boat in New Orleans. These people have been in camps and been going through a process, and it's not perfect. You can't. What refugee can be perfectly checked out? They're leaving a war-torn country. No matter what the country is, there's never going to be a perfect process. But these are the victims in this fight.
Well, rightly or wrongly, this is what Donald Trump warned us about. He said these refugees coming across, and he said this a month ago, this is a perfect way for the terrorists to infiltrate into the countries, and you watch out. He was down on the refugees before Paris went up, you know. And so that's what he's saying now. Donald Trump, and it's funny because I think, as outlandish as Trump gets, he's hitting a nerve with people. I think there's people that are kind of, to some degree, with him on this. No more refugees. Don't trust him for now. Protect Americans first. And maybe even a database where we track them. We'll have them
close down their mosques. Yeah, it's really
scarlet letters burned onto their chests.
Hey, a new poll out shows him holding or strengthening his lead while Ben Carson dropped 8 points in the test.
It's unbelievable to me how quickly my prediction falls flat. I wrote a column on Wednesday saying this is the end for these unserious people, and on Thursday the polls come out and show that Donald Trump is surging in the polls.
When are you going to learn,
The Tribune regrets the error. I regret the error. It's unbelievable.
You know what? The latest, though, is that John Kasich's super PAC is going to come out and take some really hard hits on Trump. And I think maybe that's where he will start to falter, is what I've said from the beginning. Once you start parsing together television ads and showing all these kind of idiotic moments that he's had, I still think his star will start to fall.
As has been documented on the Mincing Rascals, or documented, I should say, had a brief honeymoon with Donald Trump.
Yeah, you did.
It's over.
Who got dumped?
I dumped him.
You dumped him.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? What's changed, Steve?
He will tell you he dumped me, but he always does.
And he keeps texting.
Because you're a loser.
Right.
You're from Iowa. You know, the people in Iowa are stupid. That was his reaction
during our romance. I just loved his bluntness, and I probably said I love the fact that he answers questions, that he just, you know, when he's talking to you, he's really talking to you. But this stuff is, it's not insensitive. It's the most frightening stuff I've heard.
He was
and
ducking.
That he's saying it and getting so much support for it is just discouraging.
He was ducking those questions about his Muslim registry the other day. They were playing some tape on NBC where they're saying, are you saying, Mr. Trump, that you want them to register, to go to the government and register their religion? And he's just like, well, no. I'm sorry. The question was, is this analogous to what happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany? And he said, You tell me. He wouldn't answer that question. So anyway, I don't think he's be quite as candid as back in the days when Steve.
Well,
and
we were in love. I was blinded by it all.
Well, I've fallen into Eric Zorn's trap, though. Every time I see something big, I go, okay, this will be the undoing of Donald Trump. And it has not been. And when I got to tell you guys, after Paris happened, the Saturday morning last week, my first thought was Trump won't survive this, because can you imagine Donald Trump trying to navigate for the United States and the world how to handle ISIS or ISIL? I mean, it's preposterous on its face. And then he says this stuff this week, and it doesn't hurt him. I don't understand.
A couple of the attackers that they got this week, who they believe coordinated the Paris attacks, they do believe that they infiltrated the company or the country. They were on a watch list for terrorist activity, and they still managed to get into the heart of Paris.
But not all of them were from Syria.
No, they weren't. The mastermind grew up in Belgium. But they were still on the radar of the national security team of France, and they still were, they still had access. So that alone is enough to scare people and believe what Trump has been saying all along, that the vetting process is not good enough. And, we editorialized that we thought a pause button, was a reasonable request at this time, not stopping, not encamping them, not doing anything, but just hitting the pause button, see what failed in France, and make sure that we have the proper vetting process in place. I don't agree with the bills, the legislation that's before the White House. I think it's silly to say if these three people sign off on it, then we're okay with it.
My issue would be what's to pause? I mean, it's such a trickle now. It's not like there are a lot of people coming in. A and B, François Hollande is probably ending his political career by declaring that even after this attack, his government wants to bring in 30,000 Syrian refugees to his country. Now, they're doing that where they were attacked. And we are, Mike Pence is sending a family out of Indianapolis and back to Connecticut because he doesn't want them in the Hoosier state. Come on. I mean,
My column this morning deals with the issue of, the Congress is reacting to this minuscule conjectural threat with this immediate action. And yet, after 20 school children are gunned down in 2012 in Newtown, it took them 5 months to finally get around to killing any possible changes in the gun laws. I mean, they wanted to do universal background checks, which seems to me like just basic common sense to protect people. To make sure that try to keep guns out of the hands of people who don't have the right to have them, are not qualified to have them, and they can't do that in Congress. Yet they can in six days pass this.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that really is amazing, isn't it? Why? I mean, so we're reacting so quickly and swiftly to something that happened half a world away, but nothing happens here. When these kids are killed, is that just the NRA or what is that?
More than 10,000 gun homicides a year, and then another 17,000 gun suicides.
Well, a few people have pointed out we have a Paris every day in this country. We have over 100 people die every day in this country. Now it's 139, 140 maybe today. Some people who are in critical condition are dying in Paris, but say the number's 100 or so, 130. That's about how many people die every single day in the United States because of handguns. Newt Gingrich, the day after, it wasn't 24 hours after Paris went down on Friday night, Newt Gingrich was saying, imagine if the people in the theater had handguns, maybe they would have been able to shoot back. And I think the trade on that, I don't mind the thought experiment. I think that's an interesting thing to consider. Maybe they would have taken a couple of them down. But I wonder if Paris wants to trade our gun violence in this country in the name of safety against a massacre like that. I don't think you'd make that deal. I mean, it's up to them, but I don't think American politicians have any place lecturing Europe on gun safety or violence.
I'm not a big gun control guy, actually, in general. But I do think that the terrorists in that case would just start wearing bulletproof vests. I don't see a big shootout in a theater being the answer to this problem.
What are you thinking, Kristen, when you hear that sort of rhetoric? Rhetoric like rhetoric like Gingrich.
Well, I liked Eric's column because I think that was an example of, they tried to do kind of a more sweeping gun control law, and that animates all gun owners, because they have this feeling that the gun, they were talking about keeping lists and data of who was buying more than one weapon a year, who was buying, semi-automatic weapons. They don't want that kind of paperwork trail. That bill ended up getting watered down to where it just closed the gun show loophole. It had federal background checks so that we don't have different, state-to-state laws, which we have now. And Chicago suffers from that. I mean, it's been documented. I've talked about it before. Indiana has very loose gun laws, and they end up on Chicago streets. So my point is that bill in the end was so minuscule and supported by probably 80% of gun owners, and they still couldn't pass it. It's just this polarizing issue in this country of people feeling like they have need to have unfettered access to guns and the gun lobby, you know, ruling that decision.
Yeah. We're almost out of time.
This actually brings me, if we're going to get to our recommendations.
Yeah.
Let me go first because my recommendation is an article that I found. It's a little bit old, but it's by Graham Wood. It's in the March 2015 Atlantic magazine, and it's called What ISIS Really Wants. And it's a really long, careful, detailed look at the Islamic State and what animates them, what verses from the Quran they look at, what some certain Islamic scholars have to say about it. It's just one of those looks where you think like, oh, these guys are just evil. And of course, you know, I'm not saying they're not evil, but I'm saying that they're much more. It's much more complicated than that, and mm-hmm. their appeal to young Muslims and what that's all about. It's a really, really good article. It's Graham Wood, The Atlantic, in March 2015.
Boy, I'm going to look for that because a friend of mine, a Jewish friend of mine, was talking to me about this, and she's no dummy, but she said, you know, that's kind of what they believe. And I said, well, who's the they? I said, I don't think that's what the Quran teaches. That's not the Muslim, that's not the faith of Muslims. That's not Islam. She said, well, I'm... And I thought, well, now I've got to go find exactly what verses we're talking about here and what the implication of those are. So
this is your homework, John.
Thank you, Steve. Or thank you, Eric. Kristen, what are you recommending to see, watch, or read this week?
Well, I actually read that Atlantic article yesterday, Eric, because it was kind of floating around on Facebook. So it is definitely worth reading. I have not even bought this book yet, but I am in charge of my book club selection for January, and I picked Brooklyn.
Oh, good book.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, great. It's about Irish immigrants. That's all I know. Steve will tell me more.
Colin Toy Bean, great novelist, great Irish novelist.
Yeah. If it's Ireland, Steve's your guy. He's over there all the time. What's your recommendation, Steve?
Well, I have two. One, just a note, you know, I was in Paris a month ago. And
yeah, I'm supposed to go in April, thank you very much.
Well, you are.
We newspaper people have to stay close to home because we can't afford to travel.
It's going to be a great trip for you, John.
I went in 48 hours, I went from this, oh, crap, when I heard about what happened in Paris. And then about 12, 20 hours later, I was like, well, all right, we'll go. We'll be fine. And then a short while later, I was like, by God, we're going to go.
That's what we like to hear.
Come on with me. Let's go. We are not going to let the terrorists defeat us.
So we stayed. Our hotel actually was, you know, just a few blocks from the theater that was attacked. But what struck me, and it just occurred to me today, because we're sitting here on Friday when there is an attack going on in Mali.
Yeah.
Where people are dying, but it's not registering here like it would have, right? Twice during our stop in Paris, our progress was thwarted by the president of Mali's motorcade.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that sort of a bizarre coincidence?
Yes,
So my recommendation is I'm just in a drought. I can't find a book. I can't find a TV show. So I'm at Netflix last night, and I click on the show Foyle's War. And it's a BBC or British drama, and it's about this cop along the southern coast during the early days of World War II. So all of his buddies, his sons, they're fighting the war, and he's stuck in this jurisdiction. Thought I'll give it a shot. And the episode was about them rounding up Germans who lived along the southern coast in England and moving them inland. I mean, here we are again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked off the air. We won't dwell on it here, but about what we did in World War II with Japanese Americans, too. I mean, this isn't without precedent, but that doesn't mean we need to repeat it. I am reading Between You and Me, Confessions of a Comic Queen. You guys should read this, those of you that are in print, Eric and Kristen, although maybe you don't need it, by a lady named Mary Norris. She still is and has been for over 30 years in the copy department at the New Yorker. So she'll tell you what the difference between who and whom is and when you should use it, that versus which. The title of the book is Between You and Me, because some of us say you and I do all the time.
Did she write Eat, Shoots, and Leaves?
I don't think she did, but okay. It's got the same feel as that book. And this is anecdotal, too. I mean, it's not just a grammar book. She tells funny stories about the people at the New Yorker in her own life. It's not 200 pages, and you'll pick up some valuable, if you're at least me, writing information. It's called Between You and Me.
Sounds really useful because a lot of our copy editors are going to be leaving anyway, so we're going to have to edit our own work from now on.
Yeah, I know about that, Eric, but seriously, is this going to put more of a pressure on you guys?
Well, not seriously about the grammar stuff, but yeah, I mean, I think that everyone's going to have to be working a little bit harder and things, and we're going to have to probably deal with little mistakes like who and whom errors slipping through more often.
Well, at the New Yorker, somebody will send them a note in the mail with a clipped out segment paper from the magazine itself, and it'll say things like, "Has the grand lady finally died?" You know, because they misspelled the word
heuristic.
Yeah, I know, something that to me, I'm just proud of myself for even knowing, let alone the correct spelling of. So on that note, we will end The Missing Rascals. Thank you, Kristen McQuarrie, editorial writer and columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Eric Zorn's a columnist there, too. Steve Bertrand, you can follow at Steve Bertrand on books and stevebertrandtravel.com. And I'm John Williams. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm King John there. And I'm on Saturdays on WGN Radio when there's not a football or basketball game on, from 1 to 3 in the afternoon.
And no cursing.
No cursing. Well, Kristen did use the word bitch, I believe.
I did. But I loved it.
This is edgy. It's very edgy.
I loved it.
It was within context. Thank you, Bob Ferguson, for running the dials, and to Mike and Kristen for producing this segment of The Mincing Rascals.
You little rascal, you. You little rascal, you. You little rascal, you.